By me.
By me.
Translation. Thus I had to arrange all these necessary ingredients and paraphernalia of sacrifice from the personal bodily parts of the personality of Godhead. By invocation of the demigods' names, the ultimate goal, Vishnu, was gradually attained, and thus compensation and ultimate offering were complete. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In this verse, special stress is given to the person of the Supreme Lord and not to His impersonal Brahmajyoti as being the source of all supplies. Narayan, the Supreme Lord, is the goal of sacrificial results. And therefore, the Vedic hymns are ultimately meant for attaining this goal. Human life is thus made successful by pleasing Narayan and getting entrance into the direct association of Narayan in the spiritual kingdom of Vaikuntha. Gatayo matayas chaiva prayas chittam samarpanam purusha vayavarete sambhara sambhita maya omayanatimanandasya kananjana shalakaya chakshila mirutanjana tasmai shikadinama. So, Narayano paro vyaktat. Before the creation was manifest, Narayan existed. So Narayan then is not a product of the material energy, as the less intelligent mudhas, avajananti ma mudha, they think that Narayan is a product of maya, mayavadi, is a product of maya, mayavadi. But if he existed before the creation, that means his existence is on some other platform other than the material energy, because the material energy was not created yet. And besides that, the material energy is an emanation from him. When Mahavishnu lies down in the causal ocean, which is also generated from himself, and then while associating with his yoga nidra, mystic slumber, his consort, he dreams of creating universes, and they come out from the pores of his body as he exhales. The causal ocean is situated within the Mahatattva, and the Mahatattva is also an emanation from Narayan. Sometimes the scientists say that everything began from a chunk. So if we take the chunk to be the Mahatattva, the total material substance, that's all right, but there needs to be a cause, a source of that Mahatattva, and that is Narayan, that is Mahavishnu. So, this explains everything. All the research work is finished. So many scientists will be out of a job. What to do with their... They won't be able to speculate about how the universe began or what the origin was. So they like to do that. So it's childish, because it almost appears as if they don't really want to know what is the origin. They don't really care. They prefer just to play and get their salaries for performing experiments and things like that. Because the oldest books on the planet, and certainly anyone with some brain who studies Srimad Bhagavatam, will not be able to discount it as being something frivolous or not insubstantial. You have to conclude that this is a very substantial work by the greatest sages, and it has stood the test of time. Nothing has changed. Srimad Bhagavatam, written down 5,000 years ago, there's no changes to update. There's no new additions, or now we have a new discovery. No, same teaching is there. So a real intelligent person will hear from Srimad Bhagavatam. He'll hear from these sources. Here's a testimonial by Lord Brahma. Everyone always says, well, how do we know how the universe began? But here's the person who created it, speaking, explaining, step by step, detail by detail. He's giving a whole explanation here. I arranged flowers and leaves, and then I needed to make sacrificial ceremonies. So I got those from the body of the Lord. I was created on the lotus flower, which grew from the navel of Garbhodaka Shai Vishnu. You say, oh, that's very, that's unusual. We've never heard of that. We've never heard of, this is not possible. So why not possible? Because you haven't heard of it. Because you're so ignorant. You're unaware. It's like the frog in the well. When someone tells him that the Atlantic Ocean is bigger than his well, he tries to measure it. Is it twice as big or three times as big? And this way he cannot understand, because he's a frog of the well. He's limited. Similarly, the frog-like scientists, they discount anything that is not within their experience. We've never seen anyone born from an abdomen of lotus flower, so we don't believe it's possible. So this is real ignorance, purposefully. Lord Brahma's giving this step by step. I had to invoke the different names of the demigods, according to scriptures, purposes, processes. And now in this verse, he's saying, I had to arrange for all the paraphernalia from the bodily parts of the Lord. He's talking about creation of the universe. This is, everyone wants to know. It's one of the big questions. Wherever we go, people ask, can you tell us about the creation of the universe? Yes. It's a fact that we can take it in a simple way, that God said, let there be creation, and there was creation. Okay, that's all right. But if we want more detailed information, then we hear here in Srimad Bhagavatam that how exactly. Yes, it is by the will of the Lord. The Lord desires, and then it happens. But specifically, so many persons are engaged, Brahma's engaged, and all the material elements, how they're manifested. Therefore, Narayan is the goal. Ante Narayana Smriti. The goal is to remember Narayan at the last stage of life, to attain Narayan. That is the ultimate perfection. Nothing in this material world is eternal. It's all temporary. So, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Puna Arvatanarjuna. From the highest planet, Brahma Loka, even Brahma speaking here, his planet is also not eternal. nor is his body eternal. So there's misery even in that body, all the way down to the lowest planet, Patala, because they're subjected to birth and death. But mameva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. But one who surrenders unto me, abrahma bhuvana loka puna arvatan arjuna mamu pecha tukonteya punar janma navijate. He doesn't have to see any more births and death if he surrenders to Krishna. Narayan and Krishna are the same. There's no distinction. It's the same person. God is one. It's not that there are many gods. There is one God, but he appears in a variety of forms. Advaitam achyutam anadim anantarupam. So Narayan is one of his unlimited forms that he appears in. Krishna is the original form. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. And from Krishna manifests the other expansions and angsas and planary portions of the planary portions. This is the understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam and the Acharyas. And it's also the statement of Lord Brahma and all the persons who actually know. We should aspire to go to that place. Having once gone, we shall never have to come back again. We shall never have to be subjected to birth and death. In Vaikuntha, there's no death, there's no anxiety. It's full of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. That is where we belong. All the spring flowers are there. Whatever we're afraid to give up here, the women are there, the spring flowers, the animals, relationships, knowledge, forms, everything is there. Taste, food. Nothing is missing in the spiritual world. But what we're getting now is only the reflection. We're getting the reflection of the spiritual world, and there's no taste in it. Because the taste is in the spiritual world. But we're madly trying to lick the reflection. It's like someone who's not very intelligent. He sees some fruit reflected in the mirror, and he tries to lick the mirror to eat the fruit. How much taste will he get? How much pleasure by licking the mirror? So that's what we're doing. And we're imagining that it tastes very nice, the mirror reflection of the fruit. Because we so much want to experience pleasure, we're anandamaya vyasa, we're tiny parts and parcels of Krishna. And Krishna is full of bliss, so we're also full of bliss. So we want pleasure so much, but in this place there's no pleasure. Anicca sukham lokam. Certified, temporary, and full of misery. So, some people will be very happy to hear this, because they were miserable and they didn't know why they couldn't fit in and why they weren't happy, like all the others, people who appeared to be happy. So if they're actually intelligent, then they'll say, yes, the reason I wasn't happy is because this place is not meant for happiness. So now let me go, let me prepare myself to go to the place where real happiness is. This is the program for human life. There's nothing else that we're supposed to be doing here. We're thinking I'm supposed to be organizing the little league football team and the baseball team and all these things, and this I'm supposed to be organizing the women's club for the school, and I have to raise these children. And these are all concocted duties. These are not our real duties. This is not the business of human form of life. Janame Janame Pita Matapai. Guru Krishna Nahi Mile Bajahariyai. Birth after birth, we get mother and father. Not a special thing to get father and mother. Every species gets them. But if one gets Guru and Krishna in the human form of life, then he can worship Hari and attain perfection. Then he won't have to take birth again. So this is the real purpose. Nothing else. We have nothing else to do here. But we become captivated, thinking that this is a place of enjoyment. Like the child who was sent by his parents to purchase a loaf of bread at the store. And on the way back, he sees a carnival. Or on the way there, he sees a carnival. And instead of getting the bread, he becomes captivated and he spends all his money in the carnival, and then he's lost and it's dark, and he becomes frightened and bewildered. So that's what's happened to us. We actually came here. We're supposed to be on a mission to rectify ourselves. But we've become lost. We were given some mission. It's described that when a living entity has some material desire, then he wants to go to the material world. But he's given a very high post because his desire is not so gross. So he becomes Brahma, or someone like Brahma. So it's a very responsible position as a devotee. But that little bit of desire may... Now he's in the material energy. So by association with the material energy and by the association of Maya, he may become... His desire may continue, and he may desire to be like Indra and have a bit more sense gratification, and one after the other, then he may fall down to the lower species of life. So we have some mission here, but the mission of Brahma is the same as our mission, and that is to finish up the business and go back to home, back to Godhead. Don't stay here. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, don't come back, finish your business in this one life. And it's possible, sometimes the New Age people, they say, seven births you have to go. But it's not required to go seven births for liberation. You can become liberated in one birth, if we take it very seriously. Tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. And what does it mean to take it seriously? Just become absorbed in Krishna. Hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, worshipping Krishna, working for Krishna, keeping the body engaged for Krishna, the mind in Krishna. Savayamana Krishna Padaravindayor Vachangsi Vaikuntha Gunanu Varnane. Ambarish Maharaj was engaged. He engaged Savayamana Krishna Padaravinda. He engaged his mind always in the lotus, thinking of the lotus feet of Krishna. Vachangsi Vaikuntha Gunanu Varnane. His words were always describing Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha is another name for Krishna. He's always describing Krishna. And his arms in cleansing the temple, his head in bowing down before the Lord, his nose in smelling the incense and flowers offered to the Lord, his tongue in tasting the prasadam and tulsi leaves offered to the Lord, his legs in carrying him to the temple and dancing. In this way, all the parts of the body, everything engaged in Krishna. Then, there's no chance for Maya to sweep us away if the senses are always engaged. And this is the science that we learn from the spiritual master. We learn how to be engaged. It's not so easy. One cannot just do it on his own. One cannot concoct a process and think that he will be able to serve Krishna in his own way. No, there's an authorized way. Krishna is a person. We have to learn from those who know how to please Krishna. It's like we have certain procedures when we offer. We don't offer, for example, immediately to the face. We offer to the lotus feet first. That is the way to approach Krishna. If someone wants to go to the face, like Duryodhana, when Duryodhana and Arjuna approached Krishna, both of them wanted Krishna to be on their side in the battle, Kurukshetra. So Duryodhana, he went right up to, Krishna was sleeping. So Duryodhana went right up to the face because he thought, Krishna will open his eyes and then he'll see me and then he'll ask me first what I want and I'll ask him to be on my side and he'll agree. But Arjuna went to his feet. So when Krishna opened, when he woke up, he looked right down to his feet and there was Arjuna. He said, so Arjuna, what would you like? And Arjuna wanted to have Krishna on his side rather than the army. And Duryodhana wanted the army. So one who tries to go immediately to the head, to the face of Krishna, without humility, he will just get the material energy. He'll get the indirect, not direct mercy. But those who go to the lotus feet, that's where the direct mercy is found. Therefore, the whole process is to be very humble, to approach through the system of parampara. This is how we learn how to please Krishna. Krishna doesn't need our service, but he appreciates when it's offered with love and devotion. But we don't have love and devotion, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. So if you don't have love and devotion, then practice the principles of bhakti yoga and develop a desire to attain me. If you cannot do that, then work for me. Give the results to me. If you cannot do that, then you perform some work and give the results to some good cause or develop knowledge, practice yoga, and different things, lower stages, to bring one ultimately to the point of bhakti, and then the goal of bhakti is prema pumartha mahan, to develop love for Krishna. So it is a whole science. No one is excluded. Everyone is encouraged, whatever position they're in. Of course, this movement is offering a very good opportunity to develop love for Krishna in this one lifetime. If one is willing to adjust, to give up some bad habits, we can't hold on to the bad habits, all the anartas, and at the same time expect that Krishna will be available to us. Krishna is all pure. And in order to approach the Supreme Pure, we also have to become pure. So Brahma, he underwent austerities, tapasya, for a very long time. And all these processes, brahmacharyena, tapasya, brahmacharyena, dhamenacha, samenacha, performing celibacy is brahmacharya, tapasya, austerities, Brahma meditated, he fasted. So we have a little bit of austerity that we fast on Ekadashi from beans and grains. That's our fasting. And on Janmashtami we fast till midnight. A few little fasting like that. Not so much. Mostly feasting, a little fasting. This way we become purified by these purificatory processes, and then we can Narayan will reveal himself, we'll be able to see Narayan or Krishna, depending on our meditation. Especially the devotees in this movement, following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, are worshipping Krishna, Radha Krishna. Especially we don't have deities of Lakshmi Narayan, We worship Radha Krishna. And Lakshmi Narayan are included. Sitaram, we have some deities of Sitaram in our temples. But mostly Radha Krishna. Because Radharani is the original, the source of the goddess of fortune. And Krishna is the source of Lord Ramachandra. Ramadi Murtishu Kalani Amena Tishtan Nana Avatara Makarod Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishna Swayam Samabhavak Paramak Pumanyo Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Jami. Lord Brahma is stating that Krishna Govindam Adi Purusham, he's the original person in the universe. There's no doubt about it. You can consult Lord Brahma. He's already made his testimony. So why don't you accept it? Why don't you believe it? Brahma's not a respectable personality. He's just a common liar. So I don't know Brahma. Well, get to know Brahma. Why don't you study the Vedic literature? You're ignorant. I don't know who Brahma is. Well, find out who Brahma is. Brahma is respected by all the sages, all the demigods. Read the Vedas. Otherwise, how can you discount the whole Vedic literature? It's because you haven't read it. This is the most absurd conclusion these people come. I don't know anything. So I can say I don't believe in physics because I don't know anything about physics. How can you discount it? Therefore, it is our business to preach very vigorously, to give out this knowledge. These books are being distributed. You can distribute these books and people will get the knowledge. This is a form of education. It's very nice. So those who are distributing books, this is the highest knowledge. It is a great service. And everyone in this movement, just like our pujaris, taking such nice care of the deities every day. They're beautifully dressed and the altar is so nice. So this is a great inspiration. And Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu are pleased. And we become inspired to go out and give this knowledge to others. Thank you very much. Any questions?
To explain that at the first time we come to the material world, we come to the post of Brahma. So then after that, we are descending. And we descend also to the human form, I guess. But usually, we hear that we are coming from the lower species to the human form.
We've been around a long time now. Who knows how many times we've been up and down on a Ferris wheel. Sometimes the heavenly planet, sometimes the lower species. We've done it so many times. There's no telling. There's no telling when we came into this material, how long we've been here. Since time immemorial.
Scientists, that they've been reading them and reviewing them, but still seems like not so much of effect is done on them to accept the supreme authority of Vedas. Is there any moments?
Well, just a few months ago in the United States on national television, NBC, National Broadcasting Corporation, the biggest station, prime time, 8 o'clock on Saturday night, or what, 7 o'clock Saturday night. There was a one-hour special called The Mysterious Origins of Man. And this show, the main, it was to defeat Darwin's theory of evolution. And the The host for the show was none other than Charlton Heston. Have you heard of Charlton Heston? You haven't heard? Charlton Heston is probably the most famous American actor of, at least one of the most famous. He played the part of Moses in the Ten Commandments. Ben-Hur, he played the part of Ben. He's very famous, and he always plays these, you know, these very extraordinary, heroic roles. So he's very trusted. In America, you know, we elected a president because he was an actor. So we really like actors in America. To us, you know, an actor is the highest thing. So to have Charlton Heston, so highly respected, stand up and say that Darwin's theory is incorrect, and he was presenting all the evidence that Darwin's theory is a hoax. It was incorrect. And the main substance of all the information was coming from those two books by Drudhakarma and Sariputta Prabhu. And they were also featured on the show and interviewed. So it was an extraordinary thing. The scientists were infuriated that such a thing. They were on the internet. They set up a website, NBC, because they were getting so much feedback. All the scientists were saying, how could you possibly present something like this? Because it was presented before. And it was so popular, they presented it again. So in between the two, the scientists were up in arms and they were threatening that they would do everything to NBC. But NBC was not at all worried about it. They thought this was great. And they stood up to all the challenges, and they say, well, because they pointed out all the cheating. You see, the scientists have been cheating by taking certain so-called information that they find when they dig something up. If it fits in with their theory, then they publish it and they advertise it. And if it doesn't fit in, like sometimes they found that human beings were living millions of years ago. Their remains were found in strata that indicated that it was millions of, well, that didn't fit in, so they just discarded it. And sometimes the scientists also disappeared who found it. So this was pointed out in Sariputta and Drudhakarma's book. And so based on this information, the whole thing was blown up in this television show. So it's not that nothing is happening. This was the most extraordinary kick in the face to Darwinism that has ever been done. And it was exactly what Prabhupada wanted. Kick on their face with boots. So their faces were booted on NBC TV, and it was a wonderful thing. So we have to continue kicking, not one kick. There has to be more and more kicks. And so the devotees have to preach boldly. Drudhakarma was not even a scientist. He doesn't have one degree from any college in the material world. But yet, now he's considered one of the great authorities on scientific, on archaeological findings. He's considered one of the great authorities. Now they quote him. So we don't have to have any material qualifications. But he had faith in the order of his spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada wanted their faces to be kicked, and so he kicked. And therefore, he's glorious. And anyone who does that, anyone who takes the order of the spiritual master seriously, then he'll get all knowledge, he'll get all energy, everything will be provided, just as Brahma. Brahma was told to create. Now, how am I going to create? What to create from? Okay, here's the ingredient. Well, I don't know how to do it. Here's the intelligence. Well, how do I? Okay, here now you have this. Now you make the hymns. Well, what about? He didn't know what to do. But he was willing to try, so therefore Narayan supplied everything. So we just have to be willing to execute the order of the Supreme, and then everything will be provided. When the order of the spiritual master is there, the ingredients are also provided. You may not see them right now, but just start working and they'll come into your hands. But I have no intelligence. Krishna will give you the intelligence. But I have no money. The money will be provided. But there's no one to help me. The help will be coming. Everything's there. How can I distribute books? You just try. Take the book in your hand and try. Krishna will help you. Whatever it is.
Well, I understood sometimes devotees are kind of confused with this moon flight also. They never been, you know, reading maybe whole history of Prabhupada's explanation. Can you maybe give us some kind of hint of?
Well, we're doubtful whether they went to the moon, because it's a heavenly planet, and so many doubtful things about the whole thing. Why after spending billions of dollars, are they not interested anymore? That's a little suspicious, isn't it? You spend billions of dollars, and you say you went there as easy as pie, and now you're not interested in it anymore. No one wants to go there, no one... Before they were selling tickets, they were selling land. Pan Am was offering that they were going to have round-trip tickets. Of course, Pan Am went out of business also. And if you think about who the president of the United States was at that time when the so-called moon landing took place, remember it was Nixon. Not exactly the most respectable personality. Not exactly the most truthful. So there's a lot of things. And there was a book, there's several books, one book written by a gentleman who was part of NASA, who later disappeared mysteriously after writing the book. But he explained elaborately that the whole thing was staged in Nevada. And there's a big, if you look on an American map, there's a big zone which is called the atomic testing area in Nevada. And no one's allowed, it's a huge, huge zone, many, many miles. He said that's where it all took place. He described it. So anyway, there's room for doubt. I mean, it's not difficult to put the whole thing just on a, you know, to stage the thing on a Hollywood TV set, Hollywood movie set. They do it all the time, isn't it? Star Wars, all these things.
There was even one movie called Capricorn Station. I've seen it personally when I was in high school. I went to the cinema, and there was a story about two astronauts that they've been trained for many years for moon flight. And the very moment that they had to be launched with a rocket, some armed guys, they came in into their module, and they picked them up, arrested them, and they brought them with a, you know, bind eyes somewhere. And then they started telling them, actually, that was all pre-recorded. Like, you know, they made from their practices pre-recorded material. So, and they were watching that, and they couldn't do anything. And then one day they escaped from the base, actually. They brought to the newspapers. That was a very, very nice
thing. Yeah. Anyway, there's room for doubt. Let's put it that way. And even if they did go, all they brought back was some stones. I saw... in the museum in Washington, D.C. You know, they have this big museum. So you go in this gigantic museum, and they have these space capsules and things, you know, the original things, and it's like glorified, and everyone's just bowing down. And then right in the middle, the deity is the little stone, Shila. And this stone was from the moon. It says Moonstone. Now, even they admit that this stone is exactly like the stones found in Nevada or Arizona. Prabhupada used that to condemn them. He said, just like when the householder is sleeping at night and he hears some sound in the house, he says, "What is that? What's that sound?" And someone says, "I'm not stealing." So immediately you know this is a thief. Otherwise, why would he say he's not stealing? So as soon as they say, it's just, isn't it a coincidence? It's just like the stones in Arizona and Nevada. Immediately we know they took it from Nevada and they put it there. Same thing. Now they want more money to go to Mars. So if you want to give them money, go ahead. But we're not interested in giving them any money. They proved a complete failure in the moon, and there'll be another failure on Mars and then Venus and...
feel afraid of us Vyasa, they call us, you know, like danger sect or something. So you're opposing it so much.
Any other questions?
Why is it that there are like a few different details in different books that tell about the creation, like the Bible? I mean, the Bible says that the world was created in 7 days, 6 days, and God rested on the seventh, and that God created the world only by speaking, and that's the, like the amazing thing about it, that God only has to speak and then the world is created and everything he says happens. And he doesn't say that he needed this help from other persons.
Well, he doesn't need help. That's for sure. And if you take that in the beginning there was the Word of God, and by his will only everything was created. That's correct, but that's a more simplified version. If one wants to go into more details, one sees how the energies of the Lord are working. It's not that God needs Brahma to do it. He doesn't need us either to do anything. But still, by his mercy, he engages everyone. He engages them according to their desire. So as far as why there are different versions, whenever there's any discrepancy or differences, we have to go to the most authoritative version, and that is Srimad Bhagavatam. And then we have to take that. And anything else, even within the Vedas, by the way, there is this Jiva Goswami in one of his Sandarbhas. He points out that even if within the Vedic literatures there seems to be some different versions, the Bhagavatam should be accepted because it's the most authoritative of all the scriptures.
How can we prove that it's the most authoritative?
Well, he proves it elaborately. First of all, it's written by the same author, Vyasadeva, and it's his mature writing. And it was after he was instructed by Narad Muni, so it is the perfect. As far as proving it, well, here we have the statements of Lord Brahma. Now, this is personal testimony that Brahma was there and he's telling exactly what happened. Now, if we don't believe Brahma, then what proof will we be able to offer? I mean, that is, the Vedas are written testimony. This is called Shabda Brahman. I mean, it is in a court of law, even, if you have a personal testimony of some person, very respectable, that's a very high form of evidence, isn't it? More than just finding a bone somewhere and then speculating that this bone must have been the collarbone of a pterodactyl. You know? So if we have actual testimony of an exalted personality, that's very good testimony. And those who practice Krishna consciousness, this doesn't remain simply academic. They realize all these things. They meet Lord Brahma, they meet Narad Muni, they meet Krishna, they meet Radharani. So then everything is confirmed. Purusha Sukta confirmed. But for those who are not on that level, then they have to accept the scriptures, the Vedic literatures. Otherwise, if you don't accept the scriptures of the Vedas and the statements of the great personalities or disciplic succession or Lord Krishna's own words, then you have to accept bones. So just take bones and speculation, if you prefer that. But that's not a very good method, because we see that the theories are always changing, the dates are always changing, the carbon dating is always being found faulty. Sometimes people bury bones, they make them out of limestone and they put them underneath their backyard. You know that? The Piltdown Man? Yes, when I was going to school, we had, you know, Neanderthal Man, Cro-Magnon Man, all the list, and then one of them was Piltdown. And then one year the book, you know, they came out with a new book and Piltdown Man was gone. And we found out that there was a man named Piltdown in England, and he played a big hoax on the whole scientific world. He carved some bones and buried them in his backyard, and he said, "Well, look, I just found it." Then they found out it was just carved, cheated. So they're subjected to be so many mistakes and cheating, because there's four imperfections in every living entity, except Krishna. You know the four defects? Imperfect senses, tendency to make mistakes, subject to be illusion, and the tendency to cheat. So with these four imperfect tendencies, we cannot come up with perfect knowledge by experimentation with our senses. So we have to hear from beyond, beyond this material world. Any knowledge that we try to get that's produced from the material world will inevitably be imperfect. Whereas if we can receive knowledge from outside the material world, it means perfect source.